Hey, everyone.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Adam Stark, having a two-drink minimum at Chantel Box kitchen table. I'd like to thank you all for listening and being loyal listeners. Today, Adam, I messed that up. It's not as easy as I thought.
Let's do that again. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Two Drink Minimum at the kitchen table. This is your host, Chantel Bach, and today I am joined once again by Adam Stark.
Back by popular demand, there's been a lot of requests, so that's why I'm back.
Oh yeah? How many requests have there been?
Probably none.
There's probably been a couple. I bet there's been a couple. This is your fourth time.
Yep.
At the kitchen table. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm in an elite group.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the SNL thing where would you hit the... Like Alec Baldwin has been on
sure.
How many times, so I think in the future it'll be very prestigious.
That you'll be on the most?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go in the number one slot for being on the most, and then probably you will come in second.
Yeah, I think you would. I definitely think, since it's your own podcast.
I would think so, but I think you'll come in second for
just convenience,
me.
Proximity uh-huh. to mm-hmm. the host.
Yep.
Sleep in the same bed.
Yeah, share the same living quarters.
Uh-huh.
I see you're taking a drink there. What are you taking a drink of?
PB Army ASAP on ice.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tall boy.
Yep.
Mm. I don't know that I've ever seen you drink a short boy of PBR.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Well, I now drink tall boys just because, let's be honest, I drink a lot of beer and I don't want to get up very often. To me, at this point, like a 12-ounce beer is like, I can drink one in like 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, and especially like a PBR or an Ambien, I mean, it's just water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am having my tried and true, my dirty martini. Cheers. Clink. Okay, so Adam has told me that he doesn't want me just to say, so what do you want to talk about? He wants me to actually have a topic to talk about.
That didn't happen, though.
Well, you don't know that because I haven't thrown a topic out there yet.
Okay.
So some thoughts that I've had rolling around in my head. Graham Hancock and Randall Wilson. And talking about civilization.
Nope.
Okay. We could have a universe conversation and how we came from nothing to become something.
Maybe.
We could talk the Bobby Kennedy documentary and how you felt based on the 2 hours that we've seen, right? 2 out of 4.
Yeah.
That he was the Bernie Sanders of his time.
Possibly.
Okay.
I just, from watching it, it seems like he evolved as a person, which is interesting. Like, he was involved in government and an attorney general and had maybe a little bit of in retrospect, a bad past as far as his political influence. He worked with McCarthy for a while.
Oh, yeah, 6 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the criticisms is that he was kind of like a police officer.
Well, he was the attorney general, but he
right.
But he was a JFK recording that said he liked to go after people, that he liked to play the cop
yeah.
and go after people.
Yeah, it sounds like once he made his mind up on something for good or, you know, maybe you agreed with him, maybe you didn't, but he was going to go all in on it. So he was like passionate.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's going for civil rights and making the federal government step in to allow African Americans to go to school, despite what the state of Alabama says, then I go, yeah, you know, if the federal government has to be a bully and go in there and do what has to be done, yeah, I'm in full support. But be careful, because if you don't agree with what he's doing,
oh, sure, yeah.
on the opposite end,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden you've set yourself up.
Yeah. And I would be curious in terms of when he started running for Senate of New York. So he was attorney general under JFK, and then he started running for senator of New York. And
in
then
64, I think.
Something like that. It was,
he ran for president in 68.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily clear exactly what year that was, and I could Wikipedia it, but then so it would be interesting to know when he wiretapped MLK. And then how,
oh, yeah, that's another thing.
And then how his views changed in terms of MLK and the civil rights movement versus wiretapping him. And is the wiretapping of MLK not that he was wiretapping MLK, just that when you're in that position and you see people of power and influence, if the, you just automatically get wiretapped?
Let's hope not.
Well, we are having technological issues in this house, so are we being wiretapped?
Hmm. We're not that interesting.
Well, maybe we are, and we just don't know it. So, did you want to keep going on that conversation, or no?
I don't know.
Okay. I know something, and you were like, if you want to do a podcast with me, then these are the issues we can talk about. What about Jimmy Dore and all of the issues that he's been talking about the last week in terms of the inequality issues and the media issues and how he's being portrayed as a conspiracy theorist?
Sure. I can give you an example of something that I just learned about yesterday or maybe the day before, but you know that Dennis Kucinich was running for governor. Mm-hmm. Was he senator? I think it was governor.
Governor
of Ohio.
Uh-huh. I didn't see that interview,
and
by the way.
He lost the primary, and someone online said, well, I voted for him, but what really did him in was there was a smear campaign, but there was like this barrage of media coverage linking him to giving speeches to a Holocaust denier, and he has connections to Syria. And if you actually read the article, it was pretty weak. Like, he did give a $20,000 speech, which, wow, I didn't know he could get a speech.
So as governor?
He got I don't know when he did it, but anyway, he's a progressive, and he doesn't buy the Russiagate narrative, and he doesn't believe that it questions our motives in Syria. Which any
I would hope
should.
Everyone is.
We
yeah.
just go by hook, line, and sinker. We don't even question it. So I think he's questioned the gas attacks and thought, you know,
they're a little suspicious.
Yeah, why would he do this when he's winning the war to get the wrath of the United States? I mean, that's exactly what that's the last thing he would do logically.
And exactly where and what did we bomb after the gas attack? I mean, what?
Oh, right.
Yeah. What?
Anyway,
where's the evidence?
The media.
Of that?
Yeah, anyway. Media coverage is just so bad. So it worked though, because he lost the primary. And what I would like to know is, okay, so he gave a speech to what you would classify as nefarious or dubious people, right? Anti-American type people. But okay, so that was one speech. Let's hold his competitor to the same standard. Then, what speeches has he given? And what kind of money is he taking from different lobbying groups? I mean, if you just put it on a spreadsheet and put the two in front of us, I think you would find that there's probably no scandal whatsoever. But it's just the media coverage is just so against anyone trying to make a change. I don't know how to articulate it, but anyone that's an outsider doesn't have a fucking chance. Mm-mm. And they create the Holocaust denier. Oh, please.
Well, okay. So let's just take that one point. So he gave a speech to a Holocaust denier.
I don't even know what he...
Right. So was there... Did he give a speech to one person?
Right.
Or was there one person in a crowd of 50...
Right, right.
...that happened to get attention? Or was that one person in 50... Did he give a donation to his campaign?
I think what happened is... The other candidate and the DNC in that state, at the state level, the Ohio Democratic Party, probably paid some firm to dig up some shit on Dennis Kucinich to, what's the word I'm looking for, marginalize him.
Right.
And they went through his past, and they go, oh, we could use this. This is, we can spin it this way and just destroy this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Something really insignificant. I mean, mm-hmm. if I ever ran for office, it would be... Although, it'd be so easy to find some stupid Facebook post that did that was
same,
insensitive five
same.
Years ago.
There's all kinds of things on
right.
me that could be used against me. But my attitude would be, yep, I did it.
Yep.
I don't care.
Right.
Yep, that's who I was at that time in my life.
Voters are so low, are so uninformed that this type of tactic works.
Right. And that's where, okay, so to take this kind of tactic that works, that's one of the things that was so fascinating when Trump was running during the election, because I'm like, anybody else would be completely out of the race. And the Access Hollywood with the grab him by the pussy line, when that was, quote, leaked, it was really close to the election time. It was held onto. Give me a break. They
yeah,
had
definitely.
That for months and months and months.
That
give
would
me
make
a
sense.
Break.
Yeah.
And
the nail in the coffin.
Right. And it didn't work. No one cared. So I don't think those tactics work anymore. I think people are done listening to that and done buying into it. And people are more educated in that regard and understand that, oh, this was held on to, or this is supposed to be the gotcha clip.
Well,
or whatever.
Let's face it. It's pretty scandalous.
Oh yeah.
I mean, everything.
Right.
He's so offensive.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with the fact that it's completely disgusting,
yeah, and
but it didn't affect anything.
We're now in a new,
except that Stormy Daniels and that's the narrative of our president. But I don't think anybody cares that he slept with a porn star. I think people, if they should happen to care about the Stormy Daniels conversation, what people care about is the fact that he paid her off to shut her up and then threatened her and her child's life. I mean,
right,
that's the part of
yeah,
the story
I don't
that
think
I
anyone
care
gives
about.
A shit that he had sex with her.
No, I don't care.
Right.
And I don't care that he was newly married when he did it. Oh, and well, and Melania was pregnant. I don't care.
Well, I don't care, but I'll tell you this. If somebody that I supported, like let's say Bernie Sanders did something like that, that would do it for me. I'd be like, sorry,
oh, yeah.
Bernie, I really, really liked you, but that's a fucking deal breaker for me because that you don't have character.
Right. But the reason, I think one of the reasons that that would be a deal breaker for us in terms of Bernie Sanders is because one of the biggest reasons of why I'm such a loyal, I hate to use the word follower, because that makes it sound
Bernie
like
bro.
Christ-like.
You're
yeah,
a Bernie bro.
The reason why I'm a Bernie girl is because of his integrity.
Right.
So
consistency and integrity.
Yes. He has said the same things his whole political life. And so if something like that came out about him, I would question his whole entire political life.
And also, I just real quick to interject, Bernie Sanders is doing a town hall tonight, probably right now. I'll watch it later. But he's doing, if anyone is actually listening to this,
people listen.
All right. Well, I would encourage you to go to watch Bernie Sanders' town hall on the Iran deal. And basically,
oh yeah, that's right.
He's the only person mm-hmm. in the Senate or the only person in Congress that has enough courage to do a public platform and call out American foreign policy and expose it for what it is, which is empire building. And so kudos to him. I'm excited to watch it. It's just so refreshing to have somebody call out the military-industrial complex and present the Iran deal in a historical context and actually break it down in a way that makes sense and to show our true intentions.
Thank you for that.
I'm sorry. I'm passionate about it. I think it's really important.
That plug brought to you by Adam Stark by way of what network?
Hey, it's not like my show.
What internet source will that be on?
It's on TYT, but I mean, I would just go to YouTube.
I would too.
It's going to be recorded, and I'm
yes.
sure later on tonight
yes.
you can watch it, and I think it's probably going to be very...
I think it will be very honest and informative and make sense.
Yep.
And he also did like a 10 to 15 minute interview on TYT with Cenk Uygur about Iran. It was kind of just a lead up to
right.
this town hall. Like they were talking about the town hall.
Yeah.
If you haven't, so I would encourage you to jump on that encouragement bandwagon. I would encourage you to listen to all of Bernie Sanders' town halls, not just the ones on CNN. I don't necessarily care for those so much, although he is doing what he needs to do. And I find it really interesting that CNN, the network that gave him how much coverage?
Yep.
Zero, basically 3 minutes.
He's not running. He's not a threat right now.
Right.
And he gets ratings because he's very popular.
Right. He can do all these town halls and CNN would be more than happy to host him.
And don't you worry, in late 2019, when he announces that he's running, and he's going to be a threat to the establishment. Don't you worry. They'll smear the shit out of him.
Don't you worry. We'll be just as disenfranchised as we were this last time. If not more. Actually, we'll be more disenfranchised because of the voter ID laws.
But this time, I'm not going to take it lightly. So we watched that campaign from the very beginning. We saw through all the lies of the mainstream media, like in Nevada, there was
It was the caucus in Nevada, and that people were throwing chairs. Yeah.
Okay, so we know that that was not true.
Because all you heard from Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow and everybody was, they were throwing chairs. There's not a single fucking video clip of anyone throwing a chair.
The guy lifted up a chair. People around him go, hey, man, cool it. And he was like, yeah, you're right. And the reason they were so upset is because the delegates that attended, when you become a delegate in the process, you have to show up to numerous conventions. And so
it's very time consuming, and people don't have to be really involved.
It's ridiculous. So at the first meeting, the Bernie delegates created rules. And what happened in Las Vegas, and you may want to edit this because I'm stumbling through the Hillary crowd didn't like the rules that were set forward and changed them before everyone was in attendance so that it would benefit Hillary Clinton in some way.
Right.
And people were like, well, why did we come here for 4 hours or how many hours it was a month ago on our day off because we're passionate and we wanted to support this candidate. And then you guys just don't like what we decided. And you do this really secretive, sneaky, bullshit, quick election, this quick vote to change the process. And I would be furious.
Oh, are you kidding? And it's always on a Saturday.
Yep.
So you gave up one day of your weekend to go be in a conference room or some stuffy room listening to a lot of people that you don't want to listen to. And then everything that was decided beforehand, the more, quote, powerful candidate is going to decide that we're not going to follow it.
So,
and that's just one example.
So no chairs were thrown. And basically the Hillary crowd took over the process unfairly through a loopholes, essentially.
And then when the big people went up on stage to talk, they started poo-pooing all the crowd because the crowd was being very vocal in how they felt. And the Bernie people were described as being unruly and uncouth and verbally abusive.
Maybe because they were being disenfranchised and extremely offensive. And then also they threw all these people off the voter registrations in multiple states. We're talking tens of thousands of people, sometimes millions, I think.
California and New York.
Okay, so that's just straight up cheating. Okay, let's just call it what it is. It's cheating. And then, I don't know if you guys remember this, but, you know, Bernie Sanders was criticized for, you know, ooh, the billionaires. Well, I'm sorry. You can't bring that up enough. Because there is a huge disparity in wealth, and there are billionaires controlling things and buying elections. And when he was up there, and he said, when we started this campaign, we're at 3%, going against the, what did he call them, the biggest establishment? How did he word it? The biggest... We're going up against the most powerful.
Yes. Okay. And he was referring to the DNC.
And what he was referring to.
In hindsight, if you listen to his speeches, which we encourage you to listen to his past speeches.
What he was saying, and he was being very diplomatic about it.
When we joined this election, we were going up against the biggest. Oh, my God. We were going up the biggest political establishment.
And what that, just so you know, in retrospect, I thought it was a little bit broader than this, but we now learned what he's talking about is he was going against Hillary Clinton and the DNC, which was the same thing.
Right. And I think at the time we thought he was going up against Hillary Clinton. So when people say, and I was asked this recently by a coworker, we were talking about Russia and blah, blah, blah. And, so the coworker that I'm referring to, a lot of times we play devil's advocate with each other just because we like to hear the other person's argument. And so talking about Russiagate, how stupid. Talking about Russia, we need to stop using gate with everything. When talking about Russia or the election, and he was saying it was during the Comey book interview, all that bullshit. And he was saying that Russia was the biggest influencer in the election. And I argued that the DNC was the biggest influencer in the election, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton had the most impact and effect on the election outcome. And if Debbie Wasserman Schultz at all, DNC, Hillary Clinton, had just let things go as they should have gone, Bernie Sanders would be our president. However, this is why I don't think it's a, this is why I think it's a good thing Bernie didn't win. Because he wouldn't have gotten anything done. It would have been a Republican-controlled House and Senate, and his presidency would be viewed as a failure, and he wouldn't be getting anything done.
Well,
and people wouldn't be as awoke and paying attention as they are with Trump. And it's with anything in that you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And we are losing our fundamental rights every single fucking day.
Well, people asked Bernie when he was running how he was going to get anything done. And
right.
he said, I'm going to use the power of the bully pulpit. And basically what I think Bernie's strategy was going to be and will be when he wins in 2020.
Except that it will be a democratically controlled.
I think he's going to do those fireside chats. I think he's literally going to go on TV with experts.
And
he's actually going
to
treat us like...
He has a podcast now.
Right. He's literally going to go to the people directly. He's going to circumvent the media establishment.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call them out for what they are like he always has. He's going to talk to us directly. He's going to have panelists like he does now, experts on this stuff. And he's going to talk directly to the American people, and he's going to say, this is what needs to be done, and if you want this to get done, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to call your senator, whether he's a Republican or a Democrat, and say, this is what I want, and if you don't do this shit, we're voting your ass out of office. And I realize that seems like can he do that? Could that work? I don't know.
Well, okay, so I would argue that that's not really any different than what people are doing now, and so people are burnt out. What I would say is going in Bernie's favor is that he has not stopped, and I don't want to use the word campaigning, he hasn't gotten off the campaign trail, for lack of words. He has not stopped. Since the election was stolen from him, he has not stopped.
Because he's a leader.
He's doing town halls. He has a podcast. He has a TV channel, which is a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on CNN anytime he's asked. He's going on TYT. He's been on Jimmy Dore, too.
I think he's always trying to do this stuff, but he was never popular. And things had to get so obviously
bad, disgusting right.
and corrupt. And so, yeah, that all of a sudden this guy that's been saying these things and been a hypercritical of politics and the way things are and policies is finally, yeah, I think he's wanted to do this all along. He's always had a show.
I think so too. And I think he has always done this. It's just been within Vermont.
Right.
Or much.
His audience has just gotten bigger and bigger. And it's going to go, he's got a worldwide audience
right.
now.
And my other argument would be, and I'm going to try really hard not to get emotional, but I might fail. The other thing that I think would happen is that if he loses the election, which I would not doubt at all, there will be riots in the street. The other thing is that if he wins the election and the things he is proposing, if they're not being done and there's gridlock in Congress because we have so many establishment fucking people in there, we still have our Chuck Schumers and we still have our Nancy Pelosi's, that people will riot in the streets. We are fed up. We are angry. We are sick and tired.
Do you have any idea? Maybe he lost in 2016, but he built an army. So, like, he has me and you.
He has.
Like, you think I won't go out and knock doors for that guy?
Oh, my God.
You don't think I won't make phone calls? How many millions of people are going to start engaging with undecided voters and go, hey, you have any idea how important this is?
Yes. And do you know how easy it would be for us to make phone calls and door knock? Like, it would be so easy because we are so passionate about this guy.
Yeah.
Like,
I would have no,
if anything,
I wouldn't even feel awkward. I'd be like, hey, I'd like to talk to you about Bernie Sanders and his platform. Do you have a couple of minutes?
And here's the other thing that I would say to my dear listeners is that stop putting down the Bernie bros and the Bernie girls. I am so sick of being told to get over it. I'm sick of being told that he lost. I'm sick of being told a variation of that theme. We are well aware that Bernie lost the election. We understand. But if you don't understand the passion of where we are coming from, and if you don't understand how angry our generation is.
And why did he lose? Because it was not a fair process. And when people were reporting this at the time, by the way, this is what we were saying at the time. And we were so close to it that, I'll be honest, part of me was like, do I have a bias because I'm just so passionate?
Oh, yeah. And we talked about that.
It comes out, and it's like, no, don't second guess yourself. We were listening to the right sources. We were correct throughout the entire campaign. It was like, well, why are they doing that to him? That doesn't seem right.
Right. And I would get into disagreements with different people who thought they were following it as closely as I was. And then I would be like, no, that's not what happened. And it wasn't where I'm putting them down or I'm quote more educated. It was, no, you aren't following this as closely as I am. And there's an actual documentary that TYT put out at the time about the California primaries, and that there was literal stealing of the ballots, and people that were working the polls were put with people that didn't go through the training, so they didn't know what they were doing, and they were giving false information. There were these weird unmarked vans that showed up and just took a bunch of the ballots. There were ballots that people had to be counted and they were never picked up. And I understand that this all sounds really convenient and like in conspiracy theory. I understand that. But that is also part of the dialogue and part of the narrative is that we are supposed to sound crazy and like we don't know what we're talking about. It is well documented.
You don't even have to go that far into the weeds. All you have to know is that it's been proven arm of the Hillary Clinton campaign.
New York, Arizona, Nevada, California. Those four states. Where New York, you had to be registered months in advance. The Trump children weren't even registered to take place in the primaries at the time. You had to be registered months in advance to be able to partake in the elections. I'm sorry, the elections, not the primaries. California, it was declared that she was the winner of California before California even took place.
Mm-hmm. And, and Bernie was criticized for being a one-issue candidate, which was, he's always talking about the billionaires. That's all he talks about. Now, if you ever watch his stump speech, literally every single sentence is dense, concise, and is a strong position on something. Whether it's taxes, healthcare, the environment, he's telling you what he wants to do.
Right. And even if you want to take the stance of, well, he is a one-issue candidate, where he is just talking about the millionaires. Okay, the millionaires fucking control everything. So that isn't just being a one-issue candidate. Is that, no.
Yeah, the income inequality in the right.
So if the millionaires and billionaires are controlling everything, guess what? The millionaires and billionaires don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about free education. They don't care about a livable wage. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about renewable energy because they are profiting from it all. They're profiting from us being in debt. They are profiting from us being uneducated. And they don't give a fuck about the environment for whatever asinine reason that is. They don't care.
Because I'll tell you why they don't care. Because there's a lot of money to be made when you deregulate.
I understand that, but they still have the same air and water and land. And
oh, really? You think that wherever they're living, there's going to be lead in their water? No. They're going to live they're in some nice neighborhood where they're going to have clean water and they have...
Well, I'm here to tell you that if they are on an island or if they are in New York City, they are not drinking clean water. But I understand your point.
People are very short-sighted. They're going to go for profit.
Yep.
They don't care. They don't think long-term.
It's just more
they're
going to
be dead. These people that rule the world right now are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, whatever.
They're in their 60s and
80s. Right, okay. So they're going to be dead in 25 years. You really think that they give a shit?
And I have done a lot of research in trying to figure out who the top families are that rule the world. And the best of my ability is that it is rich nobility that goes back several centuries that have been married off many a time. Otherwise, it's just the robber barons of the Gilded Age that have been married off many times.
What I think is really interesting about voter turnout is there was an article that
Real quick, what is the percentage of non-voters? Because you know that better than I do.
Right. So in the presidential election, and so just remember that the presidential election is going to have the highest turnout. So no, hardly anyone votes in local elections like city council. It's probably like 3%. I'm not even joking.
I'm thinking that's being very generous. Okay.
People will vote for Congress, but not nearly as many. If it's an off year, if it's not a presidential election year, it's very, very low. I would guess it's probably like 30%, if that. So who's even voting in primaries? It's such a small amount of people.
When's our primary?
June 5th. Anyway, so where I'm going with this is the highest turnout that you're going to have is during a presidential year, because it's all you hear about all the time. And they don't even talk about the issues. They just talk about the gossipy, he said, she said bullshit, who grabbed whose pussy, that kind of thing.
They also don't, they talk in such broad terms. Right.
Oh, it's insulting.
It's ridiculous.
I believe that.
And how many times have we met a candidate and at the end they're like, wow, tough crowd.
Yeah.
Like, we are a tough crowd because we ask some direct questions. Right. I'm always just flabbergasted. Yeah.
You can't just go up in front of us and go, I believe in healthcare and education. Oh, wow. I know. Aren't you a revolutionary? You believe in those concepts?
I believe.
Fuck you. Tell me what you're going to do about it.
I believe that we should take this back from the Republicans. That's great. Tell me what you stand for. And then the question that I ask, which is, I think free college is fantastic and great, and I'm all for it. However, people like me that are saddled with student loan debt, what are you going to do? You can tell they haven't been asked that question.
Right. But let me get back to what started this whole thing. Yes. So voter turnout is really, really bad. It's like 44% in a presidential year. That's of eligible voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how many people are even eligible? And then of the percentage that's eligible, it's only 42% in the most important election that there is. So I think they've done studies and it's like maybe 15 to 20% of the general population is even deciding who's president. And so I'm really well informed.
Wait, how much of the population? 15 to 20%?
I would say, yeah. So
is even deciding who our president is.
Right. And so me and you are extremely well informed. And to a certain degree, we don't even participate because we're so disillusioned. So for the presidential election, I wrote in Bernie Sanders. And what I was going to get to is there was an article that I read the other day where it was like, Donald Trump didn't win the election, Hillary Clinton, and it showed all these areas where Hillary Clinton didn't get the same numbers as Barack Obama did.
Right.
And it was because these people like voted for Jill Stein.
Right, third party, or
were so upset with what happened to Bernie Sanders that they didn't even vote.
Right.
And or Gary, maybe they voted for Gary Johnson. I would vote for Gary Johnson Hillary Clinton.
It was third party,
right?
Because
at least Gary Johnson is right on foreign policy, which is probably the most important thing we have going on. Anyway, so it's just kind of funny that I didn't vote.
No, I didn't either. I wrote in Bernie Sanders, which is basically not voting, right?
And it's like
Bernie Sanders. What
does it tell you about
us?
A system where your more highly informed voters are going, this whole thing's a fucking scam. I'm not even going to participate in this bullshit.
Right. Well, and so I listened to – so the New York Times did a report on blacks in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And they also – most of them did not vote. And they voted for Obama twice. And they saw that nothing changed. So the vast majority of them did not vote, and if they did vote, they did third party as well, where they either wrote in Bernie Sanders or they voted for Jill Stein. And I have been very honest and open about the fact that I wrote in Bernie Sanders, and it was a very emotional decision for me. It was not for you.
I had no qualms.
Where I was for me is that, could I live with Trump winning, and could I vote for Hillary? That's where I was. So
right.
So hold on. So that's why it was emotional for me. I didn't feel bad about my conviction. And the reason I did it is because he should have been on the ballot.
Right.
It was – I cannot tell you how closely I followed the DNC actions. And I think I actually followed it more closely than you just because I was listening to podcasts all day.
Right. So here's what I'll say.
I have no qualms about it now. Right. I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't. Yeah. So one of the things I was hoping was going to happen, but it didn't, probably because they just didn't want to report it. is I figured that there was, I thought there was going to be a significant number of people writing in Bernie Sanders, and it was a protest vote. So even if it was like 3%, I wanted people to go, holy shit, these people knew he didn't have a chance, but they were so passionate. And I guess that's just the word, pissed off and passionate, that these people wrote him in, and wow, millions of people across the United States wrote this senator in. And the other thing, the other reason why you shouldn't feel disenfranchised is because in West Des Moines, where we live, they didn't even count the absentee ballots.
Oh, right, 6,000.
So you can talk about how, oh, Adam, look, you are responsible. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm engaged. I paid attention. And I wrote, I voted and I wrote someone's name in. And you motherfuckers at the county level,
6,000
you,
votes.
The auditor, didn't even count 6,000 absentee. So,
in Dallas County.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You didn't even get, what did they, how do you not know? Oh, hey, remember that big fucking box of ballots with 5,000?
Right. And that's in the report is that it wouldn't have changed the election. That's fine.
I don't give a shit.
Right. I would still like to know what those 6,000 votes are.
And that's a slippery slope when you say, oh, don't worry, it wouldn't have changed the election.
Right.
Oh, really? So how often are we going to start saying that? And how loose are we going to get with that?
And was it that all 6,000 people voted for Trump? Or was it that 1,000 people voted for Hillary? Like, what is that distinguishing mark? And it's shocking to me. So remember at our last meeting when they said about the 6,000 votes, how many people at that table didn't know anything about it?
Right. And I will always vote my conscience, because if we want to have any fucking chance
of
changing things,
we
need, yes, exactly. If enough people vote their conscience and there's large numbers of people saying, I'm not participating in this, I want an alternative idea, alternative party. When you have 10 to 15% of the population voting for this third party, all of a sudden they're going to start getting funding and they're going to be on the ballots in 50 states like the Green Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of wondering why the Green Party doesn't have more sway, but well, because they don't
DNC.
Get, yeah, and the media coverage just lambasts them.
Right, and
makes them kooky.
Right, and Ralph Nader is still blamed for the 2000 election when he didn't have, it wasn't Ralph Nader that affected.
I had the privilege when I was at Drake University, and I literally found out that Ralph Nader was going to be visiting and speaking like 10 minutes before he actually showed up. Like there was a bunch of people walking across the campus and they're like, hey man, you gonna go see Ralph Nader? And I was like, he's here? And they're like, yeah, come with us. And I'm like, okay. And it was such a different environment. He I don't even think he gave a speech, or maybe I think he gave a 10 minute speech and he goes, all right, I'm gonna open it up to you guys.
Mm.
And he goes, all right.
Yeah, that is different.
And this is what he said. He goes, I'm not a candidate that's going to come here and tell you how great you are. He says, you guys have a responsibility to improve this country and you can't be passive. And I'm not going to sit here and say nice things and try to ingratiate myself with you. This is what I stand for. And we need to work together and whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get the general idea.
Mm-hmm.
And when he opened it up to the floor, this is what he said. He goes, all right, now I want to hear from you guys. Tell me what makes you angry.
Mm. A lot of things.
And I was just like, whew.
Yeah.
This guy's the shit. His tie was crooked as shit.
Oh,
he looked like he hadn't slept in 5 days.
Right. And that's the thing, too, that Bernie Sanders is like this unkept professor-looking guy, which I'm fine with. So to contrast that, or juxtapose that, I went to see Hillary Clinton speak at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in 2007.
Ugh.
Yeah, it would have been 2007. And because I'm seeing a former first lady, a current senator, I thought it should be respectful that you dress up. So I was in a nice white dress and heels. In hindsight, it was so stupid. And I stood in line forever. I was behind a husband and wife who, I cannot stress this enough, reeked of cat piss, absolutely reeked of cat piss. And so as I stood in line, I realized I was completely overdressed, not just because of the cat piss people, but because everybody else was just comfortably dressed.
Mm-hmm.
The median age in line, minus me and the cat piss people, I would say was 60.
Well, that was because it was during the afternoon, right?
No, it was after work. So I went after work and I was given tickets. So then stood in line for a very long time, got up to the stage, stood by the hay bales, because we're at the Iowa State Fair and we're in Iowa, so the hay bales, but then other people got bleacher seats, and I didn't understand what the distinguishing mark was of who got to stand and who got to sit. But then I also saw, so we were funneled into a specific area outside of the agricultural building. And different people, all of a sudden signs started to show up. And I realized it was her people that had made signs for the crowd to hand out. And some of the words were going off of the page. So like, it was the first two letters were way too big, and then there wasn't enough room for all the other letters. So it would look like a kid made it. Only there's no way that a kid made the sign, because they're literally being handed out to the crowd.
Were they handed to kids?
Nope. They were handed out to the crowd for people to hold up.
And so did you have to turn them in when you were done?
I think so. Well, I didn't. So I didn't stick around, and I'll get to that. So I was. That blew my mind. Like, oh my God, this is so staged. Then our senator.
Did she say, hi, y'all?
Yeah. And so then our congressman showed up, who I can't think of who it was at the time. Boswell, I think it was.
Yeah.
Showed up. They were late. Everyone was late. So we were way past the time that we were supposed to be there. No, we kept getting like updates like,
yeah,
they're at the airport. Sure. They're on their way. They're almost here. Okay, but again, I'm in a dress and heels, and it's the summer heat of the Iowa, and we're at the Iowa State Fair, not during fair time, mind you,
mm-hmm,
around hay bales, and I'm standing up, and I was pretty close to the stage. But by the time Hillary showed up, I had been standing 4 hours. And it was hot.
Fuck.
And I was pissed. And so, but I wasn't there for very long once she got there.
Did she apologize?
Well, if she did, it was like, I'm sorry, I'm late, but hi, Iowa. I mean, yeah, who cares? So then I was so disgusted that shortly after she started talking, I realized it was the same fucking speech I've heard in her TV commercials. It was the same fucking speech I've heard her on the Today Show. It was the same fucking speech. Word for word. And it was about how she grew up as a little girl in Illinois, and her father worked in a fabric factory on all this. And I think it was that her father owned the warehouse, but whatever. I think the actual story is that her father was in textiles. But anyway, I laughed. I just very casually turned around and laughed. And as I'm walking back to my car, and I mean, I can hear everything she's saying, but I was like, I am literally listening word for word to everything I've ever heard you say in a commercial or an ad. And it was so disheartening,
mm-hmm,
because this is 2007. So it was Hillary, and Obama wasn't that big of a name yet. So you just assumed it was going to be Hillary. And people weren't that anti-Hillary as they currently are.
And I've told you this before.
So the difference between Nader
versus
Hillary.
Okay, so go, and I want to tell you, I've told you this a bunch of times before, but it really is important to me.
My listeners have never heard it.
Right. So I was at Drake during the 2004 election. And, you know, when you live in Iowa and you're at Drake University and it's an election year, just tons of people are coming through all the time. So all of a sudden, the campus is full of people. And I go, what's going on? And John Edwards, remember that?
Uh-huh.
Cheese stick? So John Edwards.
Oh, yeah. I like John Edwards.
You did?
Well.
Oh, God. What a phony. What a pretty boy.
Well, in hindsight.
Well, I knew it at the. Okay, well, here I'm going with this. So it's at Olmsted Auditorium. I think that's where, it was at Olmsted, it was packed. It was hot, it was packed, and there's tons of people there with signs, and these looked like real signs, they weren't handed out. Maybe they were. But anyway, I'm just doing this, like, just out of curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just walking around, scoping it out, like, almost as an observer, like,
mm-hmm,
a fly on the wall, like, what's this all about? I mean, I think at that point I was rooting for Obama.
In 04? You were way ahead of
the curve. Oh, no. Howard Dean, I believe it was.
Okay.
And, yeah, he turned out to be a fucking compromised
piece of shit. Because he did one thing and then all of a sudden he's a joke. Whatever. It's ridiculous, but yeah.
Anyway, so he went up there, John Edwards, and it was everything we talked before about how it's very superficial language and like, I believe in this and like, like things that no one would disagree
with.
They're just
very broad.
Really broad.
I think everyone should have rights.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, we need to strengthen education. And it's like, and I just looked around and saw these people melting with like adoration. And I'm 22 years old, 21 years old. And I'm looking around going, this is so fake. He's not talking about anything.
Nope.
And look at all these people responding in such a positive way. I was like, this is like, I feel like a Black Mirror episode.
Right.
Like, you're seriously following this
right.
tool?
But that's what when people are like, he's so charismatic. No! We don't fall for it.
I had a friend.
Don't fall for the charisma. That's
right.
Exactly what it is charisma.
I had this really smart friend. And she was really into John Edwards, and I was I was like a big Obama supporter, and this is 2008, so I can be forgiven. I mean, come on, if you compare the two.
Oh no, I'm not blaming you
right,
at all. Yeah.
Right. So
I voted for Obama twice.
Right. And I felt proud of it when I did it.
I did too.
Now
I
definitely would have voted third party. But,
okay. Well, and it was,
right.
I mean,
anyway,
Romney and somebody else, McCain.
But I remember just grilling her and being like, are you serious? I go, the guy's he's a Ken doll. He doesn't have any substance to what he's saying.
Well, people labeled him the next John Kennedy.
Oh, please.
He's so John Kennedy. You know, that guy that had a child out of wedlock while his wife was dealing with breast cancer and they had two kids together?
How quaint.
Do you know a
That's
name?
Such a mini scandal.
Do a name that we don't ever hear of?
That was the least.
John Edwards.
To me, that's the least offensive thing he did. The fact that he is just such a... A robot. I don't know how to say
it.
Just no substance.
So,
and people are so... These politicians, when they go into a room, they are so afraid of offending people. And they just take everything they do and they just water it down. It's like, no, I want someone that... I don't want you to go in there and go, well, I need to win over the room.
No.
No. You go in there and you speak from the heart and you say what you believe in.
Right.
And the room comes to you.
Right. And here's the thing. If you speak from your heart and you have conviction about what you're saying, guess what? You don't have to remember what you said.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I would encourage all of you to attend one town hall, one meeting with one of your local representatives. And if you do absolutely nothing else but just be a participant, meaning that you went, I would encourage you to do that. And I would encourage you to listen to the words they use. So one of the things that I've talked about before is when I went to see David Young. And there was way more of us than there was room for. People were out in the hallway. And it was so many things. But one of the things that I picked up on that he did, I was interviewed by WOI TV that day. I was on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he... So when he was asked a question of, for example, are you for defunding Planned Parenthood? His answer would be, I ran on a Republican agenda. So are you for gun control? I ran on a Republican agenda. So obviously he gave more answers than that. Not with the Planned Parenthood thing, but he would give a few more sentences than that. But what it always came back to is, I ran on the Republican agenda. It wasn't I stand for or I believe or the reason I voted this way. It was I ran and I stand with the Republican agenda.
Right.
So I've said this many times. You and I have had discussions. I've said it on here. I don't think most of our politicians have any integrity at all. It is about how they can get elected. So they you don't even have to know how a bill becomes a law. You could be a Democrat at heart, but you're not going to get elected as a Democrat because of who the running person is. But there's a Republican seat open. So you just decide that you're going to become a Republican. I personally, because I have too much conviction and integrity, cannot imagine doing that. Now, if several million dollars were placed in front of me...
Fuck, I still wouldn't do
it. I still wouldn't either.
Give a shit.
However, a lot of people...
Or if I was... Okay, this is the only way I would be able to justify it.
If I was incredibly sick or something...
No, I would literally expose it, and I would just be like a translucent figure, I would say, or transparent. I'd go... So these guys gave me this money, so I'm voting this way, and I'm doing it for selfish reasons. And this is what it's going to do to us. But this is my voting record.
So you
No,
would
and I would just expose it.
want to be assassinated.
I just think it would be like a pair. It would just be hilarious.
Right, but you would also be
I'd be
assassinated.
like, yeah, this is the NRA
You
is.
would be smeared. So all those things that we said 20 minutes ago about like, well, yeah, I've done this. I don't care. My response would be, I don't care. Yeah, they would bring all of that to the surface. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just
It's
saying.
the only way I could morally accept the money is, and I would just be like, I'm exposed. It's the only way I could justify it, to be like, I'm taking the money and I'm going to tell you exactly how this works and who's writing the checks. And they wouldn't write checks anymore.
Well, no, it just goes to your foundation. So we have the Clinton Foundation, we have the Obama Foundation, which I don't know what the Obama Foundation does. I haven't heard much about the Clinton Foundation. I'm curious as to what Chelsea is doing right now. The only former president that is still alive that I think has any integrity, and he does have a foundation actually, is Jimmy Carter. Except here's the thing about Jimmy Carter. He's what, 90? And he's actually out there building houses every day, and
He's a
he's
Bernie
out
bro.
there. And he's out there leading Sunday school every
Did you
day.
know that he's a Bernie bro?
Do you want to know why we have superdelegates?
He's a Jimmy Carter?
Yep. We could the Democratic Party could not let Jimmy Carter happen
That's
again.
too much democracy.
Yep. He was a Georgia peanut farmer. And we couldn't allow that to happen. So superdelegates happened after Jimmy Carter, and they happened against people wanting superdelegates. I forget you saw the same speech that I did where it's the women and oh, I don't remember, so it doesn't matter. But they are seeing how they're being corrupted or how they're being taken over, and this is how it's now going to be, and they don't support it. But whatever, doesn't matter. I can't think of it.
All right, I've had enough.
Okay, well, we didn't know what we were going to talk about, and look where we went. I said, oh, Oz is going to join us for one last little
Let's get her
cheers.
vocal. How do I say something? Get her to meow. How do I get her to meow? What's a good way to get her? Oh, I'll do this.
Okay, well, we didn't know what we were going to talk about. I threw some topics out there. I started with Bobby Kennedy, and look where we ended up. That's what having a conversation at the kitchen table is all about. So, with that, one last cheers. Cheers. Excuse you.
I just wanted to see your reaction.
Hi. And I will, well, my reaction was more that I was taking a drink and Oz was staring at the bottom of the glass, so that was cute. Okay, I will say, as always, thank you for listening. Remember to share the love, not the hate. Thank you, love you, bye.